The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Babylon Bee interview show. Today, Adam and I got to sit down with Christian Walker. He is a hilarious conservative personality on the internet and host of the Uncancelable podcast.
Yeah, he used to make TikTok videos. He makes Twitter videos. And he's a very outspoken conservative.
And he's so funny. I think you're going to love him. And you're going to love what he has to say about critical race theory and how LGBTQ curriculum in schools is demonic.
So thank you for being here. We're so excited to get you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. And I guess I have to start by asking you, you're black and you're gay, so what is your favorite thing about being a Democrat?
Well, first of all, I have to correct you because I'm not a Democrat and I refuse to be lumped into that LGBTQ ghetto rainbow cult.
I was told by my
cult.
TV that you have to be a Democrat, though.
Well, I'm not gay. I'm attracted to men because I won't be lumped in with that rainbow group, the trashy group. But being a Democrat is great because I don't vote for them.
Amazing. What are the things that Democrats could do to get your vote back?
They could close the border. They could stop releasing criminals out of jail. And they could not be nut jobs. Then they could maybe get my vote.
It seems like those are easy things for them to do, but they're having a very hard time accomplishing any of that stuff. They seem very married to all of those ideas right now.
I was just reading about the crime wave in the 70s, and someone made a comment about like conservatism in the 80s coming back after that crime wave, and then is that going to happen now? And someone else said, hey, well, back then, like, both parties were anti-crime, pro-security for the country, and now we have a party that literally isn't. So, yeah, they're really
all
struggling.
Under the guise of caring. If you're a minority, we'll take care of you. You belong to us. Like, what's up with that? Like, what is that all about?
I mean, I think they're just pandering for votes, but I find it laughable. And it's very interesting, as we see constantly, especially right now with like Myra Flores, whenever you have a minority that doesn't fit into their box, they go insane. So,
Yeah, drives them nuts because they just don't understand it. They just can't.
No.
And so for any of our viewers that aren't familiar, what was your political journey like? And you've sort of blown up on some of your online content. What was your journey like into getting involved in the political space?
So I feel like a lot of social media conservatives have this big like jump to conservatism. They were like these leftists and they came over. For me, it wasn't that way at all. I was always very much a conservative. When I was 14 years old, I started reading Ann Coulter. Love her. She's like my political icon, but never really had an intention of stepping into this industry or world. And then in 2020, when the BLM terrorist attack started, and I saw people posting black squares supporting everything, and I'm watching from the roof of my apartment building, my city go up in flames, I was like, I just can't even take this anymore. So I just released one video, it blew up, I released another, it blew up, and it was very much just a natural progression. And from there, I just started talking about all my beliefs, and they seemed to resonate. And I try to deliver it in an entertaining way. So that's basically how I'm sitting here right now.
What was your background? Was your goal to work in entertainment before all this happened? Or what was your dream or your focus in career before you kind of got sucked into this world?
So I did want to work in entertainment. I was working on pitching a scripted drama with a top management company, top writers, a top producer that's produced all these really hit shows. I was going to play myself in the drama. It was about cheerleading. So I wanted to do that. I was also going to school for Chinese and finance. So that was another dream. You know, I could do finance in China if I don't go the entertainment route. So, I never thought I would step into this industry, but I think it's a lot more fun for me and it's so natural and easy.
Right.
So I'm glad that I was shifted this way.
And we need people right now. I have a very similar experience. I was in entertainment. I was in the Hollywood world and never, ever wanted to touch politics ever. Grew up in a conservative home. Watched my parents get discriminated against in Hollywood for being conservative. So I was like, guys, just stop talking about politics. Like, it's ruining your career. And then here I am working for the Babylon Bee. I'm just like, sometimes I just wake up. I'm like, how did this happen? How am I here right now? And it just was very natural. I feel like there's such a demand for young talent and
it started affecting our lives.
Yes.
Like the politics so much. You can't leave the house in LA without some political billboard, without a mask mandate, without whatever. And so when it's so pressed onto you, you feel the need to do something.
Yeah. It was a very weird time in Hollywood during the BLM riots and all that, that kind of inspired you to speak out. And we need people to speak out like that. Because my experience working in that industry, it was so bizarre. During that whole period, you would walk down the street and you would see buildings boarded up. You would see streets that had been ransacked the night before. And you'd go to work and everybody would be like, you have to support BLM. You have to hate the police. And it's like, what is happening here? Like, how are they, there's this like, I don't know, there's this break from reality that they have.
They're so disconnected.
Yeah.
And I will say, because I mean, I still have, I have a few liberal friends.
Yeah.
A lot of whom have money. And so during the BLM stuff, you know, they were going up to their houses in the hills. They were locked down in their 10,000 square foot house with a huge pool with a guard gate and everything. And so they had a great time and the BLM terrorist attacks didn't affect them. So they were fine. So I think there's a lot of disconnect. And then a lot of these people with money, specifically celebrities, sort of lead the culture and direct people who we refer to as sheep, and the sheep just eat up whatever they say. And so there's just this big disconnection.
Parrot all the talking points.
Yeah, the infographics.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. The reposts, the story reposts. I'm just like, I know this person did not even take 2 seconds to Google and verify this.
No.
So let's talk about haters. I want to ask about your experience with hate online. And stepping into this world, I anticipated a lot of hate from leftists, but I haven't really received any. And really? I've received more from people on the right, which I found very interesting. You know, people just have different expectations.
In what sense? That they don't think you're far enough to the right, or that they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like this is, yeah, yeah. On some of our sketches. And I'm like, oh, I can laugh that off very easily. Cause I'm like, I've never expected it from you. I expected it from these blue haired people.
Right.
And I never really hear from them. Maybe they're changing their opinion behind the scenes, but I don't hear about that. So I want to ask you, have you received more hate from the left or the right?
The left. Mm. Oh my gosh. And I think it's because my views, like, even though I might be a little eccentric or deliver my messages in weird ways, I am very conservative. Like, my beliefs sometimes are even like, I don't know. I'm very conservative. Yeah. So I don't really receive hate from the right. I get it from the left a lot. But after the first batch, like after my like third video, I was like, I don't even care anymore. Yeah. It's fun triggering them. But as far as you getting hate for sketches, I do think conservatives just need to be more open to being entertained. We need like an entertainment arm to the right that we don't really have right now. And I think sometimes they're resistant to satire, to just kind of pushing the limit. And I'm a pusher. Mean Girls comment.
Yes.
I love to push the limit. And because like we live under this religion of the left, that I love like picking at them. If we lived under some like totalitarian rightist state, which we never will, I might, you know, sometimes make a jab from the left just to poke.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably trigger people so easily because if you were repeating their talking points, they would be obsessed with you. They would love you, but they can't connect it in their minds. And I think it's hilarious.
What's kind of funny is some of them will admit like, okay, you're really funny, but I hate you. Or you're entertaining, but you suck.
Do you read your comments? Do you read your replies sometimes?
Sometimes I'll go through like messages just to see, do a temperature check, but I try not to.
Yeah. It's probably better for your mental health.
Yeah.
I think also the thing with the comments on our sketches is the Babylon Bee has a more right-leaning audience.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when you put stuff out there on Twitter or TikTok, you're getting more views from just the general population. And then you're probably triggering more people that are on the other side.
Right.
When people meet you, do they assume that you would be on the left? Have you had any interesting reactions from people when they find out that you're more conservative?
Now a lot of people seem to know. I've made the rounds the past 2 years.
Yeah.
But I don't shy away from it. And if anyone like makes a comment, like they don't know, like I was in Miami 2 weeks ago. And this girl asked what I did, and I was like, well, I mean, I kind of, like, do political commentary. How do I say, like, I make videos on Instagram that's, like, retarded?
Making fun.
And so she was like, what do you do? And I'm like, political commentary. This was right after Roe v. Wade. And she goes, oh, I would have never expected that, but we need voices. I'm like, we sure do. And she's like, yeah, because our rights are under attack. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't think you would agree with me because I'm a big conservative. She's like, really? Yeah.
You're inspiring me right now to go, no, I'm a big conservative. Deal with it. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Speaking of shoving things in people's faces, how was your Pride Month?
Oh, the ghetto. I don't do.
Did you love the Pride Month?
So this is my Pride Month. July is my Pride Month because I do America Month.
Yeah.
My Pride Month is being
Day.
American.
It was so much more extreme this year.
It really did seem
like what the? I mean, with the drag shows, with the kids giving the dollar, I'm like, this is literally no worse than taking it to a strip club. And it's, that, I mean, what? They're like, no, it's fine. We got to educate our kids on what? Like, explain. If you can, if you understand it at all.
I can't explain it. They get more extreme every year. It's total Sodom and Gomorrah. where I live in West Hollywood, which is like gay land and so annoying. It's just central and it's a nice area, but there's a section that's rainbow land. And I'm away from that. So I'm like, okay, great. Pride won't be by me, whatever. I'm woken up one Sunday morning. Pride Festival is literally a street away from me. I'm pulling out of my house. There's a big, like, drag show on my street. Drag queens, naked men. It's just so in your face. And the worst part of it was people were bringing their kids to it. I saw plenty of moms holding their kids' four-year-olds' hands and taking them to watch this. It's really degenerate. It seems unnatural, and it's weird.
I've never seen so many kids at it before, you know? Right. I have seen it a few times, and it just didn't seem like there was such an emphasis on the kids. Like, I just find that so interesting. Do you think that there's, I mean, where did that come from? Yeah.
I think it's so clear that there's an agenda, or like, nobody needed to tell me that I was attracted to men. Mm. I didn't need to be educated on it. It simply was what it was.
Yeah.
So this desire to teach kids about it is a desire to push it on them, because they don't need to. You don't need to be taught that you're attracted to blondes. You don't need to be taught that you're attracted to redheads or Latinos or whatever. So it's odd. It's weird. And
yeah. I've seen in some of those reposts we were talking about.
I think Latinos are called breakfast tacos now.
Yes, that's correct. Gotta make that edit. Yeah, I've seen some edits, those reposts on Instagram saying, we're going to end up gay anyways, so you can't stop us. I'm like, you're proving our point. Like, that's fine. Like, just don't push it on children.
Don't push it.
Yeah.
And especially with the transgender ideology stuff, the fact that they're introducing this idea to kids that you can kind of just make up your gender or be the opposite gender, and the percentages of people, it's clearly being pushed on them. I think it's especially among teenage girls. The amount of them, the proportion of the population that used to identify as having gender dysphoria or being transgender, it's like skyrocketed in the few years that they've been pushing this on elementary school age kids.
Yes, gender dysphoria used to affect primarily males, and now it's exponentially increased in the female department. It spreads socially. So if you have, you know, one girl who identifies as the opposite gender in a friend group, it's very typical that the whole friend group will eventually identify as a different gender. And so, yeah, they are pushing it and they're trying to confuse our kids.
Mm.
Where do we go from there?
Mm.
Did you go see the new Lightyear movie?
Oh, no. Sorry, I like Toy Story, not women making out in cartoons. But I do have a funny story about it. My friend took her little brother to see it. They went with the family, and they're pretty conservative. And the little brother asked, wait, how'd that one woman get pregnant? And my friend's mom, who I love, was like, you know, I didn't care. You do what you want in your free time. But now my son has questions about this.
Snot.
So, yeah, people are annoyed. People are annoyed.
Yeah. So funny. I was seeing Top Gun and I saw all these trailers and I kept leaning over to my boyfriend like, that doesn't look very good. That doesn't look very good. And I saw the Pixar. I was like, oh, Pixar. And I like lit up. And then I was like, that doesn't look good. I didn't even know there was gay stuff in it until after it came out and it tanked in the box office. I was like, oh, there's gay stuff in it? I didn't even know. But I thought it looked bad anyway. And that's kind of the problem with Hollywood. It's like, not that they're trying to fill all these boxes, check all these quotas. It's that it's just not good. They're not telling good stories anymore.
And that's what breaks my heart. They're not even trying to entertain us. And there's this whole section of the population that has no entertainment.
Yeah.
Hollywood's ignoring
them. There's a need for that.
There is.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on, you know, patronizing left-leaning companies, like companies that are woke now? If it's, you know, like a, I think for a while, you know, Netflix seemed to be pushing that. Now they've taken some stands sort of against cancel culture. And then you have companies like Disney that are pushing it really hard. But if there's something, you know, like
Starbucks.
Most of us like Disney. Growing up,
he loves Starbucks, so I want to.
What are your thoughts about patronizing companies that have a very left leaning political agenda now?
Well, it seems as though if we were going to boycott every company that doesn't have a left, like we wouldn't be able to consume anything. You can't go to Target, you can't go to Walmart, you can't go to Starbucks, you can't do anything. So unless there's an alternative, unless anybody demanding that we boycott all of these things want to provide an alternative, well then I'm not really sure how to live.
I think Daily Wire is going to build Jeremy's Coffee, Jeremy's Walmart,
Jeremy's Target,
Jeremy's toothpaste.
Well, yeah. I like Starbucks. I'm a big Starbucks person. And I constantly get followers saying, why are you going there? Why? And my answer constantly is, I live in LA. The local coffee shops are further left wing than Starbucks. So I'm doing conservatism a favor by going to Starbucks.
I always think it's so funny that the, like, why are coffee shops, gosh,
so
liberals,
leftist.
The liberals, they make such good coffee, though. I'm like, it's so annoying.
But I don't know where we would shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. True that. Okay, thoughts on the fact that Ron DeSantis wants to deny your very existence?
Dad and Mom DeSantis, I love his wife too. They can do no wrong. They're the best. But that's just ridiculous. That's crazy.
I know. Isn't it funny? I remember thinking about how they put up the billboards, gay.
Yeah.
Gay. And I was like, oh, so we're allowed to say gay now. But like, no, don't say gay. It's like, wait, wait, what? I'm so confused. We need answers.
He couldn't be better. That's my thought.
Are you in 2024? Are you more Team Trump or Team DeSantis? Do you have a preference between the two at this point?
Who you'd like to see run? Well, I think we're way far out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just say, yeah, I definitely have a preference.
It seems like you're dreaming about one of them right now, and you don't want to say you're like, I definitely do.
I definitely have a preference.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Okay. How is your dad doing?
Let's just wait until he says it.
Okay.
Oh! I'm like, oh, you're not getting it out. I think the thing is, like, I'm not going to vote for a Democrat, and I'll probably I'll campaign for, you know, any Republican. I might criticize them, but there's always one that's better. There's always a better option. So I do have a preference.
I know which one it is.
Do y'all have a preference?
I don't know who's running.
I would vote for it.
Either.
Right now, between Ron DeSantis or Trump, I would vote for whichever one of them was on the ticket. I think right after the last election, I was more against Trump running again. I liked him, and I thought he was great. I was sort of like, okay, that kind of period is over. We need somebody new. But the closer it gets, I've sort of more opened up to the idea of him running again, I would say.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I heard Ron DeSantis speak in person and I was blown away. I looked at my boyfriend and I was like, he could win. He's such a good politician. He riled me up. He's like, got this like sports, like, I don't know. He had something going. I was like, he could win. The thing is, we need a champion and Trump is a celebrity. Like he has this reach. So I really don't know what's going to happen. You know, I don't know if his reputation is too tainted at this point. I just don't know.
Right.
So it depends on who officially is running and how that all shakes
out.
Yeah,
I guess we'll see very soon.
Yeah.
And speaking of elections, your dad is running for Senate in Georgia, right?
Yes.
What are some of the issues he's running on? Are you involved with his campaign at all?
I'm not involved at all. No. Some of the issues. Well, I think, you know, the country's being slaughtered by inflation, crime. I mean, I think Republicans, if they campaign correctly, Republicans all across the country, if you campaign on issues affecting all Americans, you will win easily. So if you don't win this year, you're probably a terrible effing candidate. Campaign on inflation and crime. It's a very easy win, Republicans. I think we're being slaughtered by a number of different issues. The Democrats are a complete disaster. Biden's approval ratings are in the tank. So Republicans can very easily win this year. All they have to do is not be retarded. And we have a problem.
They always mess that up at the last second.
And voters are so giving. I love Republican voters. They're such good people. They're giving. They just want this small basket of issues. I just don't want to live in a crime hellhole. I just don't want massive inflation. And then the Republican politicians screw it up every time. So let's just pray they get it right this year, because we need them to get it right.
Yeah. Find it really interesting. I wonder when this next generation is going to kind of step in and hopefully like have a new understanding of what our country needs. You know, we hear these issues, we hear these conservative values, and we also understand how people work. And yeah, I wonder, we need people to step up for sure.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see, I mean, we've seen the shift in the Republican Party, but I think we especially are seeing certain states shift out of establishment-y to sort of this populist, Trumpy, MAGA agenda. We see that out of Florida, whereas Texas, red state, love Texas, but we have a lot of establishment figures there. Senator Cornyn sucks. Greg Abbott is no saint. Now he's not the worst, of course. He's done a good job, mm-hmm. but Texas was shut down for a minute. So we're seeing a shift. I think we're going to get there.
Yeah, me too.
As someone who, you do your stuff on Twitter, were you on TikTok for a while? Did you get suspended
from TikTok? I'm back now. I don't talk any politics. I talk dating advice.
Oh, I see.
And literally all my followers are leftists. It's very funny.
Really?
And they're like, gosh, hate you, but love your advice.
That's
You're an
so
icon.
Wow. So you got banned for doing political takes?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we just got banned on TikTok too.
TikTok is rough. You can't talk politics. I just dropped it. I'm like, whatever. Mm.
Have you ever been suspended on Twitter at all?
Many times. Twice. Both. One was something about election, and it wasn't even like, or about Nancy Pelosi, something weird. And then just like a month ago, I called George Floyd a criminal, and I was like, banned for 12
hours.
That's not a ban. That's a suspension.
Oh, okay. Did they make you delete it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
They're so totalitarian. You have to delete it yourself.
You have to admit that you made a mistake.
Crazy.
We're gonna slap you on the wrist. That's so weird.
It's crazy. So we need Elon, buy it.
Elon,
I'm waiting.
Please.
That's such a strange drama. How now he's trying to get, and now they're trying to force him.
I know. It's
funny.
Already
made the deal.
We'll see
what happens with that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I don't know who to root for now, because it's like I'm on like team Elon as a person, but I'm also rooting like, yeah, Twitter, make him buy it.
Now, okay, I hate a conspiracy theorist or people who are like 4D chess, but if anyone's going to do 4D chess, I think it's him. So we'll see. I'm not, my faith's not dead.
Yes, yeah. What I was going to ask in terms of sort of Twitter and TikTok, and you have a younger audience that follows a lot of your stuff on there, or?
I do, yeah, but... Yeah.
Because I'm curious, there's a perception that sort of young people in the next generation are more left-leaning and they're woke and everything. Do you interact with a lot of people? Do you have hope that the younger generation, there are some conservative-minded people, there are people that are kind of pushing back against the left that are, you know, kids now?
We definitely have a few. Young conservatives are great. Mm-hmm. The young conservatives that I meet are really dead on. But I do think the majority of young people are leftists, and they're scary leftists, and they're extremists, and they're loud. So I am nervous to see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those people do wind up coming over. I guess we'll see. We'll have to see.
Yeah. They got to get out of their indoctrination in the schools and the media, especially, is what's driving them all that direction.
I think about this. The Democrats have played the long game. They got Hollywood. They got the media. They got journalism. They got schools. And it's like, it's no wonder we're in this mess. Like, Republicans kind of got us in this mess. They did not think this far ahead. They're like, it's fine. We'll just, yeah. It's like, well, now what? Now we're in this very interesting predicament. So we got to be creative to get out of it.
100%. And I think we need to stop looking for quick fixes. Yeah. And we need to get involved. The school boards are great. Go on, get on your school board. Go yell at the school board meeting. Like, we just need to stop expecting things to change overnight, and we need to be willing to play the long game. I'm always calling liberals lazy and, you know, you don't have a job. But one thing they are good at is organizing, and they are willing to go to their job if they have one. And then afterwards, like, do political activism and go knock on doors and go run for us. So they're really good at that. And so we need to learn from that.
Their emotions. They're very emotional.
They use it for sure.
It fuels them. My gosh. Yeah. Okay. So schools, critical race theory and LGBT curriculum in public schools. What are your thoughts?
It's ridiculous. This anti-whiteness or this hate for white people and teaching black kids that they're oppressed is craziest. And then this queer ideology is just straight up demonic. So that's my...
There's our thumbnail, Dan.
Queer ideology is demonic.
What is your reaction to what liberals call the Don't Say Gay Bill in Florida? We obviously know it's not really called that, but yeah.
Well, now for a period of time, when someone would say that to me, I would go, wait, what are you saying? Because there's no bill called that, so I don't know what you're talking about. So call it the Parental Rights and Education Bill. I used to say that to them. What was the question? What is my thoughts on them calling it that?
Yeah, what's your reaction to them, like, changing the name and, yeah.
I think it shows that they're shady and they have a weird underhand agenda. So you really want kids learning about, like, gay sex in kindergarten? Like, why do you have a problem with kids just being kids? It's very weird. Groomer. Okay, groomer.
I did see
that's my favorite.
A meme of the billboards that said, gay. It said, like, didn't read the bill. I mean, it was like a 7-page bill. It wasn't even that long. So I'm wondering, did they actually perceive it that way? They're like, they don't want gay people to, like, learn about different sexual orientations. This is oppressive to gay people. Do they really feel that way? Or do you think they're like, darn, we're not going to be able to get our agenda across. Like, we need to make a whole psyop about how this is bad for the gay community and this is oppressive and white Republican men are evil and they hate us.
I think the higher ups, like politicians, they very much knew what the bill was. But like the average everyday sheep, the average everyday person, the gay, the crazy rainbower in West Hollywood genuinely thought like you couldn't say gay in Florida.
Because that's what they heard.
That's the
infographics. So they're like, no. And then they get all emotional. They don't verify it. And
they didn't know.
The media drives all that stuff in people's heads. Yeah. And then they react to what the media told them it was.
They have free foot soldiers.
Happening. Yeah, it's insane.
They have people to just completely parrot that on social media for free. Like, it is amazing.
Yeah, free media. And I have a friend who used to be liberal just like 2 years ago. Liberal, she's very much in the middle. And now she is like a conservative because of the lies of the media. So
I think that gives me hope because I've seen that in friends too, where there are people who are on. I only know over the last few years people that have moved from the left to the center or the right. Now, some of them are so far on the left that they've gone further down that way. But I don't see people nowadays who start on the right and then move to the left anymore.
No, that doesn't really happen. And another problem are these middle people, like, who are too good to pick a side. You know, they're so enlightened. I'm just in the middle. And they don't get anything done. They let us fall into hell. Let us be driven to hell by the
left. You sound like you want to name some names there. You're like...
The Lulbertarians. The Lulbertarians. Now, we have some libertarians who are like on the right and like normal and they're, I mean, whatever. And then we have some that just don't want to do anything. And it's like, okay, our kids are learning about dildos. I think we need to do something. So
yeah, the mama bear and us all
needs
to kick in at some point. I have a lot of friends like that. That are just like, well, I see both sides. Yeah, I see both sides.
I see both sides too. That's why I picked a side.
Yeah.
Because like, one side's nuts.
You're going to have to pick a side. He's like, I will never pick a side. I just think that Democrats have done more to help minorities and Republicans have not done much. I've watched it happen in with my own experience. And I hear that, but I completely disagree with you. I think there is so much corruption in the Democratic Party. There's some disgusting stuff going on. And like, they use these politics to fund their weird black market agenda, like the government funding plan. Oh my gosh, you set me off. But no, seriously, it's like, it's not about like our rights. It's about funding their weird stuff that's going on beneath the surface.
And the other thing is, just because you pick a side does not mean you need to agree with everything on that side. I know lots of conservatives who are, you know, pro-choice or whatever. And some people say you can't be a pro-choice conservative. I'm pro-life. But like, you don't have to agree with everything. Yeah. I think Lindsey Graham is a moron. I think Senator Cornyn is a rhino piece of crap. Like, you don't need to love every Republican or love every policy. That's not what picking a side is about.
Yeah, and it's funny because on, like, the left side, there's probably like, well, I don't think it's okay to use abortion as contraception. Well, I don't think it's okay. It's like, you've listed two things. Name one thing that you're not okay. I'm like, well, all I really think is, like, I don't think you should ban abortion. I'm like, well, that's only one thing. So it sounds like you're a conservative. So I hear you. I think that we need to let people know that it doesn't mean you have to agree with everything, like a religion.
Yes.
Like, the left is
a cult.
A religion, for sure.
A death cult. Because
it doesn't make it. Yeah, I mean, you said it. You said it.
Now, you're from Dallas. What's your favorite thing at Buc-ee's?
Okay.
This is so gross.
They had like fish and chips one time that I loved. And I'm weird. I like pork rinds. I'm like so Southern. And then all those Slurpees. Buc-ee's is like heaven.
It is. It's an adventure every
and
time.
And then here it's all vegan crap. Like, I can't. I'm ready.
Buc-ee's has the beef jerky counter and they have the barbecue pit right in the middle. It's amazing. Have you been to Buc-ee's?
Yes, I have. Okay. When I was like 14. For those who don't know, Buc-ee's is an incredibly large convenience store in
gas
the middle
station,
of Texas.
Gas station.
But the store is like
80
whatever
gas pumps and 80 bathroom stalls. Wow. Amazing.
Wow. They're the
best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of a surprise for you.
Okay.
Okay, so if you're comfortable with it, we're going to blindfold you.
Okay.
And we're going to have you taste a few things. And we want to know if it was made by a conservative or a liberal.
Okay, but I'm like crazy picky.
Okay.
So I'm just going to set some ground rules.
That's fine.
Like, I don't eat bread, I don't eat butter, I don't do cheese, I don't do beef jerky.
I think you eat these things.
Oh, if it's, like, sweets and, like...
It's stuff we know you...
It's stuff we know
stuff before, right?
You eat.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Okay, you're... Okay,
I like how in one sentence you said your favorite thing... You ate fish and chip at Buc-ee's and pork rinds, and then you're like, I'm super picky about what I eat.
I am. I'm an exotic eater.
I think this is within the realm... Of
if
what
it's like
eat.
Fried chicken and stuff like that, I love that. But like, I just praying there's nothing cheesy, bready, buttery, or beef jerky.
There's no cheese in it. Okay. All right. Claire?
Chicken tender. Face off.
Round one. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That was made by a liberal.
Okay. That one was made
that
by
was
a liberal.
Made by a big liberal who doesn't know how to season, and I don't even know.
So for our audio listeners, he's eating, it looks like a little fried nugget of something right now. Chewed on it, spit it back on the plate.
Shut up! It was cold! That's why I didn't like it! That was a Chick-fil-A nugget?
I don't know what it was.
We'll
what
reveal
was that
at the end. Oh, well, what you just had was a KFC.
I knew it, because I'm like, that was terrible. Yeah. Of course, liberal.
Okay.
Libtard land.
Is KFC a liberal company?
I don't know.
I don't know much about their politics.
It's liberal.
Okay.
Round two, Raising Cane's.
Now this one.
This one's a little bit larger.
Something larger.
And
taking
he's
a bite
taking
now.
A bite now, and he's chewing it. He doesn't look as displeased, but we'll see.
Conservative, it's Cane's.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Conservative.
Wow.
Big muscle man made that. He fried that. Really delicious and good.
Round three, Chick-fil-A.
He's still chewing.
Dan said I have to narrate this for the audio listener. I don't know how to narrate someone eating fried nuggets of food.
Good job.
Okay.
You're doing a good job, Adam.
Mmm. I feel the Christianity soaking into my body. I feel the conservative values. I feel the support for traditional marriage. That was a delicious Chick-fil-A nugget.
Wow. He yeah. is just on point. You got it right. You can take
and
off
I got the canes right, too.
Yeah, you yes. did. Oh, my gosh. Thanks for being open to that. I knew you'd nail
it's
it.
It's so funny. I genuinely did not like the first one.
Coming up next for Babylon Bee subscribers.
Yeah, since you're a gymnastics expert.
I was a competitive cheerleader, two-time world champion.
Oh.
We're going to go to a park, and Christian is going to try to teach us some gymnastics moves.
Okay, fair you're going to take two steps. One, two.
No, there's no way.
Wow.
No way.
Oh, you can do it.
There's no way.
This has been another edition of the Bee Weekly from the dedicated team of certified fake news journalists you can trust here at the Babylon Bee, reminding you that someone out there knows something about Carmen, and we're going to find them.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.